from the CBS Bay Area studios. This is KPIX 5 News.
Now at 6, a live look outside. Powerful winds expected to blast the Bay Area, the critical window that could ignite wildfires.
PG&E just minutes away from giving us an update on the safety shutoffs as the utility begins to cut power to thousands of customers. Plus,
I'm John Ramos in the Berkeley Hills, where a warning to pre-evacuate the area for fire danger has a lot of people wondering what to do. We'll have that story coming up.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Juliet Goodrich.
And I'm Brian Hackney. The Bay Area bracing for the most dangerous fire conditions of the year. Let's take a live look outside, where winds are starting to pick up and could be strong enough to topple trees and send branches into power lines. That has prompted PG&E to cut power to thousands of customers across the Bay Area. First wave of blackouts are already happening in parts of Napa and Sonoma counties. Pockets of Marin County are also without power right now. Alameda and Contra Costa counties could see shutoffs in a couple of hours. And customers in parts of San Mateo and Santa Clara counties could be left in the dark later tonight. We have got team coverage on the critical fire danger, and we'll begin with meteorologist Paul Hagan and Darren Peck, guys.
Yeah, it's a bad combination. Not just the gusty winds, but the very dry air that those gusty winds are bringing into the Bay Area. Red flag warning is in effect for the entire Bay Area, not just the inland mountains and hills or some of those inland valleys. Every single square inch of the Bay Area is included in this red flag warning through 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're talking about wind gusts in the high elevations to 60 to 70 miles an hour, which means any spark would rapidly grow into a dangerous fire that would be able to spread quickly. Valleys and along the coast, the sustained winds are going to be 20 to 30 miles an hour, and gusts are going to be up to around 50 miles an hour. Now, the red flag warning is going to be continued for these areas through 5 o'clock on Tuesday. The winds aren't going to be as strong, but they're still going to be gusty in the higher terrain. The humidity is still going to be very low. So the North Bay Mountains, the East Bay Hills, the Diablo Range, that's where we're talking about the red flag warning all the way through Tuesday evening. And we have a wind advisory that's in effect for the entire Bay Area through 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Even if you're in a spot that doesn't have a very high fire threat, you're still going to have to prepare for the potential of some power outages as weakened tree branches or even whole trees get knocked down by those gusty winds. One of the spots with some of the strongest winds could be the East Bay. Darren's got a closer look at that part of the Bay Area.
Yeah, Paul, this is not going to hit the Bay Area equally. It's going to hit some places harder than others. And John Ramos is in the Berkeley Hills today talking about pre-evacuations there for a reason. Let me show you why the Berkeley Hills are one of the places that really need to take this seriously. We're going to come in for a close-up look now, and we're not seeing a whole lot just yet. Here we are at 7:45. The wind hasn't kicked in by this point, but once we get past this point, it will, and watch how the numbers change in the overnight hours. Brighter the color, the stronger the wind, but just look at the number. Berkeley Hills is gusting near 50 by the time we get to 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a lot more manageable down along 880, where so many of us live. It'll be windy where you live, but it's not going to be the near constant 50-mile-an-hour gust in the mountains. And specifically, if you live anywhere in the Bay Area that is on the west slope of a mountain range, that's where you're going to feel this the most, because these winds coming in from the east are going to go over the tops of those mountains and then get some extra push as they go down the lee side. That's going to be the area of concern, and it's not only the East Bay. Coming up in the next half hour, I'm going to show you what this looks like for North Bay communities. See you then, guys. Back over to you.
All right, Darren and Paul, thank you. And right now, PG&E is giving an update on the power shutoffs. Let's listen in.
To about 361,000 of our roughly 5 million electric customers. These customers are in portions of 36 counties and 17 tribal communities. As of this briefing, about 225,000 customers have already been de-energized, and an additional 136,000 customers are expected to be shut off throughout this evening. Now, we expect safe weather to return in most areas starting tomorrow around midday. In other areas, it could be Tuesday morning when the winds subside and we're able to start our patrols and our restoration. Now, safety permitting, we aim to restore power to nearly all customers in stages Monday night through Tuesday night. And I want to emphasize that we really want to help our customers get through this. We know it can be a hardship to be without power, especially right now as we're going through the coronavirus pandemic. Many people are working from home. Many kids are going to school from home. So we're offering a number of resources throughout this shutoff to our customers. We've opened 106 community resource centers throughout the affected areas, and we've also partnered with local food banks and community-based organizations to offer further assistance. This is particularly for our customers who have medical needs. Aaron will provide more details on that in just a moment. But for now, I want to thank everyone for your understanding and your patience as we work to keep our customers and our communities safe. And with that, I'm going to ask Scott Strunfeld, our meteorologist, to join us, tell us a little bit about what we're seeing. And Scott, I'm in the sort of greater Sacramento Valley, sort of the Sierra foothills, and boy, the wind really started kicking up about maybe an hour or two ago.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Lindsay, and good evening, everyone. So, yeah, this morning, I think we were all waking up to some of us around the Bay Area to a marine layer. And really over the last couple hours, we've seen an ultra dry air mass kind of wash north to south over the state. And that whole marine layer is evaporated. It's pushed it well offshore. And like you said, Lindsay, we're just entering kind of this this significant and dangerous risk period. Overall, we've been tracking weather models and looking at observations to make sure that this event is on track. And so far, all indications are that, you know, unfortunately, this event is going to transpire as many of the weather forecast models have predicted. And so we do have right now, like you said, winds coming down the Sacramento Valley. They're kind of spreading out over the North Bay area. And I'm looking at weather station obs right now, and we have some observations in the North Bay Hills gusting above 53 miles per hour with relative humidity down to 15%. And it's been interesting to watch quite the change and quite the dryness levels kind of as that dry air mass is moving into the state. And I will say that we're just entering kind of the most dangerous period of.
All right, so we've been listening to an update from PG&E with the red flag warning happening throughout the Bay Area and Northern California. And right now, 225,000 customers have been affected. And later tonight, when it's the real wind event and red flag warning event, 136,000 more customers will have power shut off. Now, let's go to KPIX5's Joe Vasquez. He is live in Santa Rosa. And Joe, certainly this is memories of the conditions that sparked the Tubbs fire. And I can only imagine residents there are certainly on edge right now.
Yeah, those are not good memories. And in fact, you're talking about that wind. We're starting to feel it whip up right now. I'm at Highway 12 and Pythian Road near an area called Oakmont. And if that sounds familiar, well, this was one of the areas that was hit by the glass fire just last month. Right now, folks who live in this area, they've had their power shut off this afternoon. The PSPS well underway right now. And officials are saying that weather conditions tonight could make Oakmont the target of a new wildfire. Paul Lowenthal, he's the assistant fire marshal with the Santa Rosa Fire Department. He tells me the strength of the wind tonight has him concerned. It reminds him of that big Tubbs fire from 3 years ago.
So if we're planning to experience similar conditions than what we experienced in 2017, we're fully prepared for a number of potential down power lines as well as other fires throughout the city. And with that, we have a significant amount of upstaffing. We have extra firefighters and law enforcement on hand, as well as our emergency operations center is and will be activated throughout the night so that we can be prepared for any needs as they arise.
Of course, the truth is nobody can predict whether we will have a repeat of the Tubbs fire. The most they can do is try and be ready. Everyone hopes they will be ready. The fire marshal tells us they have this new texting communication system that has worked through a couple of these fires. They're pretty confident that will be working tonight, as well as an evacuation system that worked during the glass fire. If it turns out they need to do those mass evacuations, they will call it, and they're prepared to do that. So far, no call for evacuations. But Juliet, the big X factor, will it make a difference that they're shutting off the power? As inconvenient as that is, the fact is that the downed power lines that may result from these winds tonight may not end up sparking a fire. That is the hope out here.
All righty, that's Joe Vasquez. Thank you, Joe. Some people in the East Bay are getting out before it's too late. Officials in both Contra Costa County and Berkeley are asking residents to consider evacuating. As KPIX5's John Ramos reports, many families now wondering what to do.
This year is, everybody's aware. Everybody is a little bit on edge. John Stenzel lives right at the corner of a hairpin turn on Panoramic Way that is challenging for any fire engine, even when there isn't a stream of cars trying to flee the area. Today, he was warming up his chainsaws in case a tree should fall during an evacuation.
In the case of a really bad fire, or if there's downed trees or whatever, you're not driving out.
Berkeley has a history of wildfire long before the Oakland Hills fire. In September 1923, a fire destroyed more than 50 blocks of the city. The narrow streets in the hills were built in the horse and buggy days, and there are a series of staircases down through the neighborhoods that could serve as an escape route on foot.
We have some people who are in wheelchairs or who can't walk very well. So we're trying to identify them and say, okay, are there able-bodied people who can get them downstairs? If we need to do it on foot, how are we going to save these people?
It was for this reason the city recommended that people begin pre-evacuating before the dry winds had even begun. This morning, some were getting things ready, but like Elsie Wright, most were, so far, staying put.
Right now, our communities are really injected with a lot of fear, and my husband and I have decided that we're not going to go along with that. We are going to hope for the best.
Renzo Perez spent the morning removing some old fence boards that suddenly began looking more like wildfire fuel. He and his husband Lewis are ready to go if necessary, but they have their doubts about the pre-evacuation warning.
I think it takes precaution on all fronts. And one is if there is a danger of fire to get out of here. But if you're telling people to get out of here before there's ever a fire danger, at what point do you just become more noise that's not going to be listened to?
They're concerned that in such a critical fire area, sounding an evacuation alarm before a fire is even burning may be crying wolf. At least they're hoping that's the case.
I pray it was a bad idea. I pray that it proves to be totally unnecessary and hysterical. I don't want it to be, wow, those guys were really spot on because, you know, of the danger.
In the Berkeley Hills, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
Developing right now out of San Francisco, a gruesome discovery in Selma after police found a body that had been set on fire. KPIX 5 reporter Devin Feely's got the details.
San Francisco police say the victim's body was found about 4:30 Sunday morning. Detectives are now trying to figure out how the person died and, of equal importance, why they were set on fire and by whom. Police say they initially responded to reports of a fire and later discovered a badly burned body. Neighbors say news of the death is deeply disturbing.
It's sad. It's sad.
It actually kind of really blows my mind, actually, that it happened right a couple of feet from where I sleep at, you know?
San Francisco police have released few details about their investigation. They have not said if it appears the person died from some other cause and their body later set on fire, or if the death was a direct result of the fire itself. People who live nearby describe the neighborhood as close-knit, but admit it has had its problems with crime and homelessness.
It's really sad. It's a poverty-stricken area for the most part, but at the same time, it's a lot of good that goes on around here too, you know?
Until recently, the street where the body was found was home to a sprawling homeless camp. The encampment was removed and its residents discouraged from returning by the placement of large planters on the sidewalk where their tents and tarps once were.
There's a lot of mental illness. There's a lot of people that, you know, their health isn't up to par. There's some people that this is all they know. They're just scared to reach out. And there's just some people that this is their home. This is their home.
Anyone with information about this case is urged to call the San Francisco Police Department. In San Francisco, Devin Feely, KPIX 5.
On the fire watch, we have some good news this evening. Fire crews in Napa County are making progress against the Pope fire. The wildfire is holding at 61 acres near the communities of Angwin and St. Helena. Containment is at 80%, still no word on the cause of this fire.
Campaign 2020, President Trump is on the campaign trail with stops in New Hampshire and Maine, while Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff and other aides have tested positive for coronavirus. CBS News correspondent Tom Hansen has the latest.
President Trump raised fresh questions about whether he will accept the results of the November 3rd election, just 9 days away.
My biggest fear, my biggest risk for this election is the unsolicited, the millions of unsolicited ballots that are sending out.
At a rally in New Hampshire, the president said again the coronavirus will soon be rounding the turn, with or without a vaccine. His comments come as a new COVID-19 wave grips much of the country. Late Saturday, it was revealed that Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff and several aides have tested positive. The vice president, who heads the White House Coronavirus Task Force, tested negative. The White House chief of staff defended Pence's public campaigning despite potentially being exposed and sparked new controversy with this exchange.
We're not going to control the pandemic. We are going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigation areas.
Why aren't we going to get control of the pandemic?
Because it is a contagious virus, just like the flu.
Former Vice President Joe Biden issued a statement saying, in part, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows stunningly admitted this morning that the administration has given up on even trying to control this pandemic, that they've given up on their basic duty to protect the American people. On Saturday in Pennsylvania, Biden focused on the president's pandemic response.
This is going to be a dark winter ahead unless we change our ways.
A new CBS News Battleground Tracker poll shows Biden has an edge over Trump in Florida. He leads in North Carolina, and the two are tied in Georgia. Tom Hansen, CBS News, New York.
Senators in Washington are preparing for an all-night session to debate Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. This after the Republican-led Senate voted to advance her nomination towards a final confirmation vote tomorrow. Democrats are trying to stall and pushing back against Trump's nominee to fill the spot left behind by the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg until after the election.
Police say a man has been arrested for intentionally hitting a Petaluma firefighter with his car while he was helping a patient. Happened early this morning in a shopping center parking lot of North McDowell Boulevard. The firefighter said the man approached him and asked a few questions, but was asked to leave. The suspect then got in his car and hit the firefighter before driving off. Police tracked down the suspect, a 30-year-old felon from San Pablo. Officers say they found this loaded handgun inside his car. They booked him in the Sonoma County Jail. Firefighter was not seriously injured. And in Half Moon Bay, crews not taking any chances with the extreme fire conditions. They work quickly to keep this vehicle fire from spreading to nearby brush. You can see flames shooting out of the hood of the car. Happened last night. Nobody was hurt. There are new developments in the wind-driven PG&E power shutoffs. The utility has cut power to 225,000 customers across 36 counties. 136,000 are expected to lose power tonight.
Blackouts could affect up to tens of thousands in every Bay Area county except San Francisco. PG&E plans to start turning power back on for some areas as early as tomorrow afternoon. We will certainly keep you updated throughout the evening. And in the meantime, thanks for watching.